Here's our number two of the Bible study. I'm Chuck Rathett. Thank you for staying with us. Hope you enjoyed our conversation this morning with Pastor Stephen Tice of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Columbia, Illinois. Now we shift gears and we head north. Well, we were north because Pastor Tice was in Michigan. So we're going to go west of Michigan. See, I know my geography. All the way to St. Martin Lutheran Church in Winona, Minnesota, and talk to our good friend up there, Pastor Richard Moore. Hi, Pastor.
Hi, Chuck. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Did you have a good summer?
It's not over yet, I hope. But, yeah, basically things have gone well. I moved my mother to Minnesota last week.
Really? How'd that go?
It went amazingly well. We took 4 days, packed up everything that would fit in her new apartment, and moved her from St. Louis to Minnesota, to Winona.
My goodness. And she was on board with that?
Yeah. More so once she got here.
Yeah?
She walked in, well, she rolled into the apartment. She was in a wheelchair at the time because walking got to be a bit much. But she rolled into the apartment and she said, "This is perfect." And I thought, "Okay, thank you, Lord." Because if she'd said, "I can't live here," it would have been a completely different story.
Well, sir, I have a couple of things that I'd like to take up with you here today. This just gets more and more amazing to me. And I suppose from a scientific perspective, we can just, you know, raise our eyebrows and say, wow, that's pretty amazing, and move on. But I suppose there are some biblical and theological implications, and I'd like to take that up with you. I've got a story from the Associated Press. This is written by an AP writer, Shino Yuasa is her name. The story comes out of Tokyo, and it goes like this. A 61-year-old Japanese woman gave birth to her own grandchild using an egg donated by her daughter, according to a clinic reporting last Thursday. Surrogate births are extremely rare in Japan and banned by industry groups, but they are not illegal. The Suwa Maternity Clinic in Nagano, northwest of Tokyo, refused to provide information such as the date of the birth or gender of the baby. News reports said the baby was born last year. The clinic said it performed the procedure because the woman's daughter has no uterus, but didn't give details on why she had that condition. The surrogate mother used a fertilized egg donated by her daughter. Both surrogate mother and baby were fine, according to Chihiro Netsu, a spokeswoman for the clinic. Dr. Yahiro Netsu, who runs the clinic, has long defied national opposition to such procedures, arguing that they should be an option for a woman who is infertile. Are there what, Judeo-Christian ethic issues here, Pastor? You know, if Grandma, who just had the baby, and the daughter were to bring this child to you to be baptized, how would you handle that?
If Grandma, who just had the baby, and the daughter, who is its mother, that's right?
Yeah.
Were to bring the child to me to have it baptized, I would baptize it. Because God's grace is available and given freely to all. Whether I would think this is necessarily a great idea before the fact is one of those things that my head is now going, okay, what does one do with this?
No, that's my question.
You know, there's two gut reactions that I have as I think about this, and one of them is, okay, playing God. And the other one is, if the Lord gives us the ability to do these things, and this is a way to bring a child into a family that would love to have a child and would love to would raise this child in such a way that this child would be a child of God, you know, I'm immediately on that Lutheran fence where I'm going, okay, I can see both sides of this argument. I just am a little uncomfortable with it.
Well, compare and contrast that with this story out of New York, which has been in the news. This has been, I think, a little bit more prominent in the news media. This one comes out of New York from the AP. And the story says there won't be much Livin' La Vida Loca for Ricky Martin these days. Remember that big hit song he had? because he is now the father of twin boys. The Latin superstar had the children via a surrogate mother, and the babies were born a few weeks ago, according to a statement from his representatives. The children, delivered via gestational surrogacy, are healthy and already under Ricky's full-time care, according to a statement. Ricky is elated to begin this new chapter in his life as a parent and will be spending the remainder of the year out of the public spotlight in order to spend time with his children. A representative said there was no further information on the details of the children's birth. Martin is 36 years old, a multi-platinum singer, is best known for English-language hits like... In recent years, the Puerto Rican star has been active in charitable efforts, including the prevention of sexual exploitation of children. So he's a hero. The only problem here, as far as I can tell, since they don't release any other details, is that there is no mother in the mix. There was a surrogate mother.
Right, but she's out of the picture.
She's out of the picture, and he has produced two children. He is the father, and he is going to apparently do his duty as a father, but the children don't have a mother.
Nor would they if she had died in childbirth.
Well, if she had died in childbirth, that would be God's decision.
Or a bad doctor.
But this is, or a bad doctor. But this is Ricky's decision. Can Ricky?
Can he? The answer to that is obviously it's happened. We have a whole lot of people, celebrity types, who are women who have gone out and gotten impregnated in vitro or otherwise to have children sans husbands. And that doesn't seem to raise a lot of issues in people's minds, does it?
Well, it does in mine.
Good.
And this follows on the heels of, we talked about this a couple of days ago on Ask the Pastor, of a lesbian couple who has brought a child into the world, and they're going to parent that child. And I can't remember who the pastor was at the time, but he didn't think that that was appropriate.
Yeah, and he's right.
Well, if it's not appropriate for...
It's not appropriate for me to bear children and bring them into a house and raise them by two alcoholics, either.
So you're saying that...
A person who is living in sin that is distinctly pointed out by the Word of God to not be an acceptable lifestyle should not be raising children. For instance, homosexuality, alcoholism, abuse... Okay?
Yeah.
So I would lump those all together. Single parenthood is not in and of itself a sin. It is not the way God intended for us to raise children. There's a reason it generally takes two. Because if you've had children, you understand that it's far easier to raise them and deal with them if you have a partner in that process. Specifically a partner of the opposite sex, so that you have both perspectives, both a male and female perspective, helping to raise healthy children. However, being single and raising a child is not scripturally defined as living outside of God's grace, whereas being homosexual and raising a child is.
Okay, let's set the homosexual part aside then. Let's come back to Ricky.
Okay.
Because, as you pointed out, being single and raising children is not a sin. But bringing children into an environment where the plan all along was for them never to have a mother in their lives, at least...
Is not wise.
Is it wrong? You know, I'm thinking that I'm doing a lot of presuming here, but I'm thinking that God looks down at Ricky Martin and says, "Oh man, you know, I set it up, man and a woman. I made it so man and woman could procreate and bring people into the world, and that it's important. I designed it for the masculine and the feminine to be present, so that the children would grow up, have a chance to." Develop properly, emotionally, and all those things, being exposed to mom and dad, and this is not the way I set it up.
That is true. It is not the way God set it up.
So is it wrong?
You know, it'd be really easy to say yes. The problem with that is that as we look at Scripture, we are encouraged, actually warned by God, not to make law for ourselves, not to add to or put words in God's mouth or His Scriptures. When we look at the Scriptures, I don't believe I can say it is wrong for a man to raise children alone. I believe that that happens throughout Scripture on occasion. I don't believe I can say that it's wrong for a woman to raise children alone, especially when either the man or woman is protecting the child by separating them from a spouse that is in some way abusive or detrimental to the children. Is it God's plan for us to go out and be having children asexually by ourselves? No, He didn't make us that way. So would I be in favor of this? No. But would I be opposed to Ricky going out and adopting some children that have been abandoned and raising them as a single father? No.
Do you think that it's true that if you were Ricky Martin's pastor, for example, if you had a chance to sit down with him privately and really go over the issue here in some depth?
I would have encouraged him not to gain children in this way.
Well, my question was going to be, do you think it's possible that after the fact, the children are here,
mm-hmm.
that there are things that he could say that would cause you as a pastor or a theologian to say, okay, I can't quarrel with your rationale there. I can't quarrel with your thinking.
I don't know. I know that if he came to me as his pastor after the fact and said, I would like to baptize my twin boys, I would do it. If he came to me as a member after the fact and said, so what do you think, Pastor? I would encourage him to make sure that there would be a balanced understanding in the upbringing of these boys so that they would have women, either his mother or somebody, a sister, somebody involved in their lives that would allow them to balance the male and female aspects that are necessary for healthy development.
Well, this just seems to get a little bit more complicated every time we make a lap around this track.
Absolutely.
It does appear to me to be a slippery slope, and I appreciate your wrestling with it here with me, because I know that there's no simple knee-jerk answer to these questions.
You know, the easiest answer is, you know, the Lord would have you get married, and then He blesses marriages with children. Okay? Go do that. That's the simple answer. But what we're called upon to do as the children of God is deal with situations where that has not been what's been done.
You know, I could possibly make the argument on behalf of Ricky Martin and say, well, you know, let's look at this situation here. Ricky Martin is a fairly young man, 36 years old. He could go out and he could get married and he could have children, but have you seen what happens with famous and rich people when they do that? Inevitably, it seems there's a big breakup. The children are victimized. There's all this ripping and tearing a la Britney Spears and Kevin Federline kind of stuff. It's just horrible. So Ricky has actually done a good thing here. He has obtained children. That sounds weird to say it that way. He has obtained children in his life whom he will love, whom he will care for, and they never have to worry about that big, ugly separation and divorce that is so hard on children. He's done a good thing.
because there is
that would be called a big sigh.
Yeah, that's called a big sigh. Because we are afraid of the possibility of something that might go wrong, we're going to limit the ability for something to be done right? I don't think so. That I have a problem with. If you can't have a relationship with a loving spouse, maybe you're not parent material. It's easier to love your spouse sometimes than it is your children. Of course, sometimes it's easier to love your children than your spouse, too, but we won't go there.
All right.
So have we confused it enough? For
I guess I will continue to try to think it through.
Yeah, I would love to give you a very simple answer. I think the reality is that the Lord's plan for procreation is that we are to be married and have children. That's the plan. Okay? Anything that is separate from that needs to be seriously looked at and weighed as to why would someone do this? What's the point? What's the rationale behind this?
Well, that's why I said if you were to sit with Ricky Martin, you might learn that Ricky is all full of himself and is an egomaniac and thinks he is entitled to have children in his life like everybody else, so that's what he did.
Right. That's my guess.
Or you might learn that Ricky is a wonderful, sensitive person and that he loves children and he wants to have children and just hasn't been able to find the right woman because every woman that he gets close to wants to get into his money or wants to get into his fame. And so he has taken this road, and, it's really quite lovely. You might learn that. I don't know. The thing about it is, Pastor Moore, if we were to hypothesize here and say, we got a mom and a dad, a husband and a wife, loving husband and wife, committed Christian couple, and for some reason they can't have children. It's just the mechanism is not working and they can't have children. But thanks to the laboratory and the doctors, we're going to go in, we're going to get what we need from Dad, we're going to go and get what we need from Mom, we're going to mix it together over there on the Petri dish.
And we're going to have a child.
And then we've done this. And isn't that great?
Yeah.
I mean, because the parents are good Christian parents and we're going to use science to provide them something they otherwise naturally couldn't do. Isn't that great? And we all celebrate that, don't we? There's no law against that, is there? No biblical injunction against that, is there?
No.
So we think that's great, but then the next thing you know, that leads to fathers having children without a mother in the house, mothers having children without a father in the house, homosexuals having children in the house, and now we're going, maybe this wasn't such a good idea after all.
All of the things that are blessings of God, man left to his own devices will figure out a way to make sinful.
Okay.
We do it all the time. And this is no different. We have, the Lord blesses us with blesses people with the ability to, be great mathematicians, and they figure out a way to use it for sin.
We do
this in all areas of our lives.
It's kind of like nuclear energy.
We
can use it to save lives. We can use it to destroy lives.
Exactly. Exactly.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's take this call. Hi, Jan. You're on the Bible study.
Hi, Chuck.
Good morning.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Y'all okay?
More or less.
Oh, okay. My question is kind of twofold. And I'm looking at Deuteronomy 4, and it says that you should not add to God's word or take away from it, just do it, which
mm-hmm.
sort of supports what Chuck was saying earlier. Yes, the nuclear family is God's design, but Malachi 2 makes it clear that God not only hates divorce, but a man who covers his house with violence. Now, I'm getting to my question.
Okay, I'm with you so far.
Which is the Ten Commandments are kind of our mirror.
Okay.
As opposed to what society is doing.
Absolutely.
And now here's my question. The Sixth Commandment says, thou shalt not commit adultery, right?
Yep.
And if you're married, that commandment prohibits you from having a sexual relationship with someone other than your spouse.
Even if you're not married, it restricts you from having a sexual relationship with anyone who's not your spouse.
Okay. So then we go to the conception.
Mm-hmm.
Is this process in violation of this law? That's my question.
Is in vitro fertilization in violation of the thou shalt not commit adultery?
Yeah. Or...
Well, I'm really glad we're having this discussion.
We're going to wear him out.
Yeah, well...
Gut reaction. I have a hard time thinking of what's going on in the test tube as the same as what goes on in my bedroom. Okay?
Okay.
There's not an emotional relationship there. And that may be part of the problem of the whole thing.
Right.
Is that there's supposed to be this love that brings you together that God blesses with this conception, which is a completely different thing than this contract that brings you together that results in this child.
Right. So,
you know?
Back to the passage in Malachi, I finally found the verse. God was telling the Israelites that they have covered his altar with tears, blah, 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 and God's purpose for marriage is to raise godly offspring.
Right.
So I want it clear that the manner of conception does not penalize the offspring.
Right. See, that's where I started when he asked me would I baptize this child. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I would baptize this child.
You know,
my parents sinned. I still got baptized.
Okay. Your parents sinned?
Yeah. Well, you know, David said he was conceived in sin. And
absolutely.
We all were. Which
as
is why
we
Jesus
all were.
Had to come.
All
right,
so,
here's what I'd like to do if we could. Jen, thank you for the phone call. It's time for us to take a bottom of the hour break. Pastor Moore, can you put your finger in the place where you are there so when we come back on the other side of the break, you can pick it up?
Sure.
All right, and you've been very patient with me today. I appreciate that. Our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. What do you think, those of you who are listening to us today? Do you think what Ricky Martin did is okay? Do you think what the Japanese grandma did, bearing her daughter's baby, is morally, biblically okay? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
The Bible encourages us to feed the hungry and give a drink to the thirsty. But did you know that the Apostle Paul writes that we should do that for the purpose of heaping coals of fire on the heads of the hungry and thirsty? What does that mean? That's the subject of the next Law and Gospel.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on AM 850 KFUO.
The Moving Wall, the nation's first and only traveling Vietnam Veterans Memorial, will be on display at the Hecker Community Center in the village of Hecker, Illinois, between August 28th and September 2nd. This honored visit is sponsored by the village of Hecker. Those who come to the Moving Wall while it is in the village will be looking for one or a few very special names, and trained volunteers will be on site to help you identify the location of the name you seek. The Moving Wall will be open to the public 24 hours a day.
Why would a group of insects kick their legs in unison? The answer, next, on today's Creation Moments. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
Aphids are tiny creatures that are often tended, even protected, by ants. Like many creatures, aphids provide a wonderful testimony to God's ability to create endless variations on a theme. Aphids come in many different colors, white, red, green, and yellow. Aphids rely on cleverness to protect themselves. Aphids have two spikes on their backs. These spikes are not for stinging, but for gluing. Ladybugs love to eat aphids. If a ladybug tries to eat the aphid tries to position its spikes to glue the mouth of the hungry ladybug closed. Aphids that are not protected by ants have longer, more effective spikes. Perhaps the most clever strategy aphids use to protect themselves is the aphid kick. When a group of aphids sitting on a plant feel threatened, they will kick their hind legs in unison. This seems to make the would-be predator think that something bigger is after him. But who organizes the aphids? Nothing the Creator has made is unimportant. The simple fact that he has created something means that it must be important to him. You can be thankful that no matter what other people may think of you, God has made you, and that makes you important to him. More than that, he loves his creation.
For more information, visit us online at creationmoments.com. You'll find both written and audio transcripts, creation-focused articles and Bible studies, and many other resources, all at creationmoments.com. Or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moments, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
I'm Diane Summers.
And I'm Roland Lettner.
On the next afternoon show, 3 to 6 on AM 850 KFUO.
Pastor Laist from Frankentrost will talk to us about the historical fact of the day.
Yes, and we'll have Dr. Arthur Just continuing a series on heaven on earth.
And Pastor Charles Fulmer about the human nature of Christ.
Okay, it begins at 3 o'clock, 3 to 6, every afternoon, Monday through Friday, the afternoon show on AM 850 KFUO.
Don't miss it.
Either Jesus is who he says he is, or he is a liar or a lunatic or both. Either you believe Jesus and what Scripture says about him, or you must conclude his story is a lie. There can be no middle ground.
Pastor Ken Klaus, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO.
You're listening to the Bible Study, Ask the Pastor Bible Study. Pastor Richard Moore is with us here today. His church is way up there in Minnesota, St. Martin Lutheran Church in Winona. Before the break, Jan put some questions to Pastor Moore. We asked Pastor Moore to hold his spot, pick it up on the other side of the break, so why don't you do that?
Okay, Jan made some good points. First of all, in the Sixth Commandment, we are told not to commit adultery. And though it has been, and various times people have argued that any form of procreation apart from husband and wife actually having sexual intercourse would be considered adultery, I'm not sure we can completely support that particular interpretation. To have someone other than husband and wife involved in sexual intercourse is adultery. To break the marriage relationship is adultery. And I really would need to go study this a bit more before I want to say that in vitro fertilization with someone other than your spouse would be adultery. But it's a possibility. I'm toying with that. You now have sent me off to do work, and 2 minutes wasn't long enough. She was saying about not penalizing the child, I believe, is in fact scriptural. We do not withhold the grace of God because we disagree with the way the child was conceived. Where there is a parent bringing a child to be baptized, and where there is a desire and a intention of that parent to raise that child in the church and to bring that child into the grace of God, whether that is a single mother or a teenager or whatever the situation other than husband and wife should not keep us, in my opinion, from baptizing that child and encouraging that parent and bringing that child into the grace of God and supporting that parent in raising that child.
Okay. Now here's another issue I'd like to take up with you. Are you ready? Or have I used up all my goodwill here? This is a story off of the Fox News website, and the headline is, "The Secret to Longevity, Get a Second Wife, Study Says." And the story says, some men may think... Now, I'm just reading here, okay, ladies. Some men may think one is bad enough, but a study suggests the key to a long life may be to get a second wife. Researchers from the United Kingdom's University of Sheffield looked at men older than 60 from 140 countries that practice polygamy and found that they lived an average of 12% longer than men from 49 monogamous nations, including Minnesota, I might add. That's according to a report from the Times of India. The study's findings were presented last week at the International Society for Behavioral Ecology's annual meeting in Ithaca, New York, according to the report. Researchers looked to previous research on women to answer why polygamous men live longer and chalk it up to a variation of the grandmother effect. Scientists believe women who live considerably longer post-menopause than other mammals do so because the longer they live, the more grandchildren they have to dote on. Caring for grandchildren, it seems, gives women a reason to live long after they're no longer able to reproduce. Doting on grandchildren, however, does not have the same life-lengthening benefits for men. But men are able to reproduce into their 60s, 70s, and 80s. So it would seem, researchers said, that polygamous men experience a sort of father effect, meaning the more wives they have, the more children they father. Fathering children gives them a reason to continue living longer than monogamous men who often stop fathering children at much earlier ages, researchers concluded. Now, here's my point. Through the ongoing gay marriage debate that we're having in our country, the focus has been on the morality or the ethics of whether or not men should marry men or be permitted to marry, and women should be permitted to marry women. Out there on the periphery of that debate, somebody has suggested that, well, just remember, if you authorize that, if you validate that, then you've got to validate everything. And the next step, it has been suggested, is polygamy. So,
I am rejecting your entire premise for this question.
Wow.
Okay?
Just like that.
I have sat here as long as I can listening to this, and I'm done. Okay?
All right.
First of all, Scripture very clearly says that a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, singular, not plural. The whole, sixth commandment, God wasn't kidding. Okay? And the presupposition that they have behind this research that the only thing that could possibly be the cause of these people living longer is a second younger, I'm presuming, if you're having children with her, wife. What happened to the scriptural passage that says the days of our lives have been determined by the Lord and already written in his book?
Well...
What I do...
I hesitate to step in here because I don't want to get...
Because I'm on a roll, right?
You're on a roll. But, I'm thinking that maybe two people who would agree with this study and would fit right in would be King David and King Solomon. Now, there are a couple of polygamists for you.
Right. And you may recall how pleased the Lord was with them.
Well, I know that the Lord
David
had some...
lost the child of his second wife because of the way he got his second wife.
No, that was adultery and murder. I'm
right.
Not sure that was a general.
Second wife is still adultery.
Okay.
Okay. Solomon, when he looks back, writing the book of Ecclesiastes, concludes that all of the wisdom that he had failed him when he chose the wisdom of man over the wisdom of God and chose to marry women to have alliances to protect his kingdom rather than trust the Lord to do what he said he was going to do.
Okay.
So
I think you've convinced me, but I think if we have a polygamist listening, I'm not sure you've convinced the polygamist.
Well, I'm sure I haven't convinced the polygamist. However, obviously God's word hasn't convinced the polygamist either. So here's the deal, okay? God very clearly says that polygamy is unacceptable to him. He says specifically of those who are going to be leaders of the church, they must be the husband of but one wife. If this was some great boon to our longevity and our ability to share the gospel longer by living more years, don't you think the Lord would have said, you should have one wife till you're 40 and another one so that when you're 40 to 60 and another one from 60 to 80, especially if you're a pastor, then you can preach longer, stay healthier, have more time to do the mission.
Here's my real question.
None of that is scriptural.
Here's my real question.
Okay.
Because you don't have to convince me that polygamy is unbiblical. But how long have you been in the ministry? 20-some years?
Yeah, 24.
When you came into the ministry, I'll bet you never thought that it would be possible within the time that you served as a pastor that you might, it probably hasn't happened to you yet, but you're not done yet, that you might have to sit in your office with a gay couple who has come to you to ask for a wedding. I bet you never thought that that was going to happen in your time.
Yeah, but you know, it happened in 86, so I'm sort of used to it.
What happened in 86?
I had a couple come into my office who were gay and ask me why they couldn't get married.
Well, then you're way ahead of the game.
Yeah, there you are, right on
what
that
I'm
curve.
Saying,
I'm right on the cutting edge.
What I'm saying is that I think there's an even chance here that before you retire from the ministry, that you'll have a husband and wife sitting in your office seeking a wedding for a second wife, because the culture is bringing this in our direction.
Absolutely. And if I have done my job at all as a pastor, they won't come and sit in my office and ask me this, because they will know that the Lord is opposed to it from what I have preached.
But it's going to be an interesting Sunday morning when they go to the Justice of the Peace to solidify their polygamous relationship, and then husband shows up with two wives there at St. Martin Winona on that Sunday morning. That'll be an interesting time.
It actually will be, because they'll, assuming it's a communion Sunday, they will not be communing.
Yeah, that'd be a rough moment, I think.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a call here. Gene has been patient. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Gene. You're on the Bible study.
Yeah, hi. I kind of got in on this discussion with Ricky Martin kind of late, but I wonder if anyone has considered taking technology momentarily out of the picture and saying, if this was biblical times and a man paid a woman to have a child and there was not a mother or this or that, what would they have think of the relationship and that woman? And I guess it'd just be the same as a prostitute.
Yep, but even if this was biblical times and a man paid a woman to have a child and the child was born and then the child was brought to the Lord, do you think the Lord would reject the child?
Well, I can't speak for what the Lord would do. I know that God was not very happy with Sarah when she took the handmaiden, and the handmaiden had a child.
But he blessed Ishmael.
And thus we have the Arab nation.
I understand that, but my point is the Lord didn't reject the child because of the failure, because of the sin of the parent.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that you know, we're going to say God is going to reject the child. I don't know, even know if Ricky Martin claims to be Christian.
I'm not in favor of this.
I think
I'm just
shame
not
on
sure
him.
That I can say it's a sin.
Shame on him.
Shame on him is just plumb wrong, because, you know, from my aspect as a mother, that child will never know the love of a mother's arms. That child on Mother's Day will not have a mother. That child will have somebody who comes in and out of its life, you
know. A nanny.
a nanny, and maybe next year it'll be a different nanny, and yep. it'll never have someone to say, hey, this is mom. Even Jesus had a mom, and that's the way God ordained it to be, and I feel very sorry for families. We can see, I can almost tell you the children in playgrounds and stuff that don't have fathers and mothers. You can tell it sometimes if there's an absent parent simply because of the way they act. And I'm not saying that across the board, but I'm saying that God designed it to be a father and mother.
Absolutely.
And okay. I think it is sin, right. You know, to go against the way God would have it.
Thank you, Jean.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Well, we know what Jean thinks.
Right. And you know, I agree with her about her statement that that child will never have a mother. I consider myself to be pretty much a modern dad sort of thing. I know how to cook. I know how to sew. I have been part of my daughter's lives in ways that many fathers have not been. I've been backstage at ballets. I've been a volleyball ref for my younger daughter.
Ooh, I would like to see that.
What?
You in the volleyball stand. I would love to see that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you missed it in St. Louis. I was doing it there.
Really?
Anyway, but I have done all of those things, and there are many regards in which I can do things that people would normally think would be a mom-type thing to do.
Yeah.
But I will never be their mother. And no matter how mothering I am or nurturing I am, I cannot take the place of their mother. And I think that's Jean's point. That when we do these things because we have the technology, it still leaves the child in a position where they do not have the mother and the father as God would intend it to be. And that is always not the optimal situation.
505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Jan, you're on the Bible study?
Yeah, it is so explosive today. Chuck, what are you doing to us?
He's just trying to drive me crazy.
Well, Pastor Richard Moore is a guy who can handle these kind of questions. And,
okay.
So when he comes on, I know that he won't hate me after we're done. But,
okay.
He might be mad at me for a while, but he won't hate me.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think it's very important for, first of all, Christians to acknowledge that there are situations about which we can disagree, but it needs to be agreeably. You know, I have learned so much from people who disagreed with me as opposed to, you know, people that were trying to spare my feelings or didn't care enough to correct me.
Right.
And so on this, Lutheran Witness had an article recently, and the author made the distinction between polygamy and polygyny. And the distinction that he made was polygamy is multiple marriages. So a woman could have as many husbands, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're talking about is polygyny, right? The article, the data is based on research in polygynous relationships.
Right.
Okay. Now, although the Bible reports situations where polygyny was practiced, I think it's clear to us that it doesn't condone that.
Absolutely.
And
far as to say it condemns it.
Okay, based on the result of those sorts of relationships, we can have sort of a cautionary tale kind of feel, you know, with Hannah and Peninnah or Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. As a woman, I can say that we are supremely qualified to stick it to the other woman that happens to be in the house.
All right, thank you, Jan.
Uh-huh.
Let's see if Pastor has any comments.
Amen. Absolutely. The other thing is, and she's right, you know, some of these questions, Jean called in, and she had said, you know, it is absolutely sin. Well, I'm not sure I can say it is absolutely sin what Ricky Martin has done. I don't see that in Scripture. But I can say that I understand Jean's position. I understand how she feels. And I'm going to disagree with her that it is absolutely sin and say to her, this is something I need to study. And maybe it's not sin, but that doesn't make it a good idea.
Okay. That sounds like spin to me.
No. There are things that are adiaphora, okay?
That's a big word.
The Lord does not command us what color the bathroom should be, okay? But I really think the idea of making it god-awful green and pink is not a good idea. I think that doing that could make some people nauseous. It doesn't mean it's a sin. It just means it's a bad idea. It is possible that when I'm done with my research, and trust me, I'm going to research this, I'm going to decide that there is no clear statement where I can say the Lord would say what Ricky has Iglesias has done, or who are
Ricky
we talking?
Ricky
Martin has done is definitely a sin. But that doesn't mean I'm going to think it's a good idea. Just because it's not sin doesn't mean I should do it.
You know, it makes me wonder, and I guess the Bible is silent on this, but if God is the one who knits us together in his, you know, in a child's mother's womb, if God is the one who does that, and I'm trying not to sound harsh and just completely insensitive here, but if a loving Christian couple can't have a child, maybe it's God's will for them not to have a child. And if they take advantage of some technology that has been developed in the last generation, after all the thousands of years of human history, in order to circumvent that, I can see where somebody somewhere might make the case, that's wrong. That's just wrong. I wouldn't make that case, but I can see where somebody might.
Absolutely. And I understand that, too. But if you look also back at the Old Testament, there was the Levirate marriage law that said if your brother died without leaving an heir, you were supposed to go sleep with his wife to create an heir.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Okay. Which says there are some exceptions in the Lord's plan that allows for a brother to sleep with his sister-in-law strictly for the purpose of creating a child.
That's crazy to me.
Well, absolutely, but they didn't have in vitro fertilization. My argument might be that in vitro fertilization would fall into that category of doing what is necessary to create a child so that the family can continue or so that God might bless that child. You know, there's an opening there in the Scripture that would lead one to not be able to say, well, hey, he died without having a child. It must have been God's will. Therefore, too bad, Mom, you never have a kid or an heir. Which would have been the same basic statement as what you were just suggesting.
As a pastor for 24 years, do these questions never come up?
These questions come up all the time.
I was going to say, are you saying, Chuck, why are you even asking these questions?
No.
They don't even come up.
Well, I'll tell you what. People do not tend to say to me, this is what Ricky Martin did. What do you think?
Yeah.
What tends to happen is that someone comes to me and says, my son went to Iraq, okay?
Yeah.
And before he went, they decided to freeze some sperm in case he died, and he died. His wife wants to have a child with that sperm. That okay, Pastor?
You going to tell us what you said?
I said yes. That's okay.
Is that adiaphora?
I believe so. I do not believe it is either condemned or commanded by God.
Well, you know, I'm not the most sensitive guy in the world. I realize that. But I can see where it would be so hard for me to say to that grieving woman no, you can't have a child by your now deceased husband because of these technical...
Because he's not here to do it himself.
Yeah.
That's basically
I'm pretty sure that I would have trouble saying no to that person.
Yeah.
However, that child...
will still be raised without a child.
Without a father.
Yes. Which is really very, very much the same as the children that Ricky Martin is going to raise without a mother. Which is why I don't think it's as cut and dry as it would be nice if it was.
These questions are just getting more complicated. 10 years from now, you know, the questions that you'll be facing from parishioners are
going to be even more fun.
Oh, fun. Yeah, that's a good term.
Well, you got to look at it that way.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah. You say, okay, let's go into God's Word. Let's see what God's Word says. And if both of the couple are sitting here saying, well, we just can't have a child, sometimes I say to them, why don't we give it a try for a while?
Well, after somebody comes to you with a question like this, which has got to be, that's got to be a very emotional setting.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be hard, I would think. And then they leave. You give them your advice. You can't say, well, Romans 13 says, or Luke chapter 2 says. You can't really do that. You give them the best advice that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And then they leave your office. Do you talk to the Lord about it?
Absolutely.
Actually, I tend to talk to the Lord about it while we're having the discussion. You know, one can pray in the recesses of one's mind, even as one is listening to someone, and say, Lord, give me the words, tell me what you would have me say here. And then you look at his word and you do you give the best advice that you can. And I spend a lot of time as a pastor praying that the Lord will forgive where I have somehow messed up what his word would have had me say or do, and that he would guide the people to the right decision if I haven't helped them find it. The thing we have to remember is that we as pastors, it is God's ministry. We're just merely here to share his word. And it's really his decision. Sometimes we have to turn it over to him and say, Lord, I've done the best I know how to do, and it feels incredibly inadequate. Forgive me for my failure, and let your Spirit work in their lives for what's best.
Pastor Richard Moore, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
I always save the hard ones for you. You know that, don't you?
I'm so glad.
And God's blessings to you and your folks up there in Winona, Minnesota.
Thank you, and to you too. All blessings.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Pastor Richard Moore here on our Ask the Pastor Bible study. We will continue tomorrow in the Gospel of John. Hope you can join us at 10:05. Pastor Joe Cox has verses 43 through 51 of John 1.
Listen to Chuck Rather and guests Monday through Friday at this same time on the Bible study. The Bible study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the internet at kfuo.org. For a free copy of the Bible study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.